Philip Coco is our new technical man. He's doing the audio recording for this conference.
Yeah, this is on the tape.
Philip, this is Erica Roberts here. Philip, can you tell me what's going on with this conference? I rang up at 12 o'clock and was told that the conference would not be on until 1 o'clock. That's a.m. my time. I would like to know what's happened.
Exactly. The call is now in progress. We indeed had a problem. The telephone company had the wrong information, and they had the call originally an hour later. We then got back to them and asked next immediately. And I think we're just... But also to the list, to ask people to join us.
Philip?
Make a start, Elizabeth.
Where are we up to in the conference?
We haven't started the conference yet. We haven't started the
agenda
yet.
Hello, am I on?
That sounds like Milton, is it?
Yep.
Caroline.
And Caroline, splendid. Let me just check on who I'm still missing. Axel, are you with us? Or Guillermo? Okay. Caroline, if you have their telephone numbers, it may be worth just calling them and letting them know that after these delays, the call is now up and running.
Sure, no problem.
That's great. And Vanu, are you with us? If one of the non-comms constituents, you could also do the same for Vanu, that would be very welcome. And Tony Harris? And Greg? Tony Holmes, if you wanted also to perhaps call them and just let them know that they can join us now, that would be a good idea. And
I'm not in a position where I can do that at the moment.
Okay. And Richard Tindall?
Okay, I'll call Tony.
Tony and Greg.
Tony and Greg, righto.
And Vanny, if you can, as well.
Yes.
Okay, and Richard Tindall, are you there? No. Perhaps Richard as well, please, Glenn.
Philip, it's Ken Stubbs again.
Yes.
As soon as Roger gets back on the call, somebody needs to dial *0 and authorize the operator who's managing the teleconference to let the listen-only people in, because I've gotten two emails from listen-only people who are still on music hold. So.
Okay.
I think that happens automatically until the call starts. But, Philip, you are the conference leader on this.
Right. I thought the call had started, actually, but I will...
You do it or you want to do it?
I'll do that, because they may want to...
They'll ask for your permission before they'll do it anyway,
okay.
Philip.
Yeah.
Like
okay.
it or not.
We can go wait 2 seconds.
Should I call Grant?
Hello?
Should I call Grant?
Yes?
Why would you call me? I'm here.
Oh. Sorry, I was trying to be helpful. You're the only person whose number I had.
Yeah, well, I was one of those people that came and went and came and went, and here I am.
I was in the same shape, but no one would let me on the line.
Have another cup of coffee on the Pacific Rim there and hunker down for a long evening.
But what time is it for Erica and for Grant? It's like some 2 a.m. or something.
Not quite. 12:30 a.m.
Okay, Phyllis back, and I believe the listening people should be hearing us now.
Hello?
Start the meeting. Item one is adoption of the agenda. The agenda I had changed, I hope you have the revised agenda in front of you. The difference between that and the first agenda is that the item two reads task forces. So if your agenda reads item two task forces, you have the right one. And I've got notified two items of AOB on internationalized domain names and on subscriptions. Anything else?
Which item do you put international domain names in any other business?
In any other business, yeah.
Yeah, thank you very much.
Okay.
Can I just say, I don't know if anyone's seen, there's a note here from Kerry Karp saying he needs to go on
Tom?
Tom?
Paul, can you repeat that?
Yes, Kerry Karp apparently is listening to music and would like to obviously come
on. No, he's not. He's doing less entertaining things at the
moment. Kerry, excellent. You're with us, Stuart? That solves that problem. Okay.
Has Guillermo or Axel joined yet?
Yeah, okay. I'm Guillermo here.
Okay.
Guillermo, hello. You're very welcome. Okay, could I have somebody to propose the next item on the agenda, which is adoption of those three summaries of meetings?
I'll propose if you wish.
I'll second it.
So that was proposed by Paul, was it? And seconded by 10?
Yes.
Okay. All those in favor, please say aye.
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 Those against, please say no. Those abstaining, please say abstain. Okay, let's ask NEMCON. Item 2, task forces. Just quick reports on the status of our various task forces. On the review task force, council members should have seen today the interim report has come from the review task force. This has been signed off by the task force itself and is circulated now for sort of public comment period. So council members can contribute to that. It's gone to the GA and to the secretariats of the constituencies. That period is going to last until the 28th of October, at which point the task force will then look at the comments and produce a final report, which it will submit to the Names Council. And our target date for that is 4th of November.
Bill, was the minority report included in that?
Yes, it was. And Roberto, there were two minority opinions, and they're both contained in the report.
Philip, is this matter before the council now to act on it, or I'm not sure where we are.
No, because it's like a council's own task force has produced a report. If at this time any council members acting individually want to comment, this would be a great time to widen that just as part of this comments period. But the report itself will become a final report and will then be submitted to the council for council's consideration. So that's a process happening later and would happen ordinarily at the next meeting.
I won't take up a lot of time right now, but since this is we come back to the council for action later. But just I did want to flag that the new provision that's being proposed on the review task force report represents a really radical departure from the approach that the DNSO and the Names Council were designed for. They were the concept that is motivated ICANN from the beginning is that it reflects consensus in the community where the consensus exists. It doesn't create a regulation or a rule as a regulatory body would, but rather reflect areas where consensus has emerged. And the new language suggests a departure from the underlying concept that's been around since the first green paper. So I wanted to flag that as a very, very significant item.
Okay, thanks for that. Moving on then, as the comment period is open and comments most welcome. Task force on structure has now been established. We have nominations, I think, from all but one constituency on that, and there's already been a little bit of traffic on that list. I was hoping to submit a sort of an options discussion paper this week. That's been a little delayed and will probably happen now next week. We'll try and get a discussion moving rapidly on that. Any comments on that task force?
And the constituency we still need a representative from?
Is the non-commercials. Milton, I think you told me that you're working on finding somebody for that.
Right. It will probably be somebody who's not on the Names Council, and we want to make sure that everybody agrees as to who that is, so there's a lot of scuffling about going on in the background. And because of these last-minute resolutions and agenda changes, that kind of got set aside. But we should have it done by early next week.
Okay. Sounds good.
And I'm sorry, Phil, just one more question. And are we expecting someone from, we're expecting someone from the GA to be nominated?
Yes, we are. So on to the next item of the internationalized domain name task force, and the chairmanship of that, which is open. And Greg, you were helping to get that process going to get a chair, I think, weren't you?
Yes, it sounds like Elizabeth is the one. Grant has graciously deferred to her.
All right, you had two nominations previously, and Grass has withdrawn in favor of Elizabeth, you're saying?
Yes.
Okay, so that's, then we can declare that or whatever, that
this
was a
trip. I just heard the call, so I'm not sure how many people are on this call already. And
okay, no, we're approaching a full house on the call.
Just to add in, Ben is on her way to the office to pick up the call.
Okay.
There's no reply from Tony nor from Greg.
Oh, Greg is not with us, in fact. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so... okay. Thanks for that. So that's congratulations to Elizabeth, and we look forward to some good things coming out of that group. UDLP Task Force, Caroline, any update?
Well, I'm glad that we actually moved forward, and my group seems fairly active. We're still kind of toying with the format that we'd like, but it seems that we've got, I think, a lot of the issues that we want to be addressed or commented on identified, and those are still kind of pouring in. We also have graciously had nominations for translations, I believe, I don't have my notes in front of me, but in French and Spanish, so that when the questionnaire is ready for a submittal, we should be able to at least accommodate more than just English language. So that's exciting.
Okay.
And like I said, aside from that, we should be on target to have that ready by the end of the month.
Excellent. Good stuff. Any other questions for Caroline? Yep. Young silence. Then Paul, who is?
Yes, the WHOIS committee remains very willing and able to undertake its tasks. However, the data has not been made available to us as yet due to some technical difficulties ICANN is experiencing, and so we are in limbo, unfortunately. I have, and I don't know if Louis is on the call, but it would be nice to try and get a specific date from ICANN. We envisage being able to review a number of submissions by the LA meeting, but that is increasingly unlikely. We might be able to review a number, but not a significant number.
Okay.
But, you know, it's an ongoing progress. We need the raw data to do further work.
Okay, Louis, are you on the call? No, I presume not. Okay, well then, keep chatting.
We're trying, but we'll see what happens.
Yeah.
By the way, somebody should call Louis and in case he tried to call in and got the same problem.
My question, Mr. Louis Tuton joins.
Good.
Okay, this is Teresa. You guys have to add me to the full list as well because Louis had something else going on.
Okay.
Okay, so it's impossible to go just running back and forth. So please add both of us to the list.
I will certainly do that. Is your operator list, can you hear me? No,
yes,
I'll...
Sir. Yes, sir.
Oh, okay, fine. Then I'd like to give permission then for Teresa Swinehart also to be a full participant.
Well, that's for the future, Philip.
You're on. You're not going to be cut off then. Okay, you're with us. You've got your way through. Good. Welcome.
Yeah. Teresa, you might send a note to the secretariat, and that way it'll get recalled on that.
Right, I will. The only reason is that, we're juggling a lot of things here, because you can't always...
But is Louis on the call as well?
I will go get him. Yes, he's on the call.
Okay.
Are you there, Louis?
She went to get him.
Okay, we'll come back with that question.
You know my question, anyway.
Yeah. In the meantime, then, .org Milton, please.
Yes, the .org draft is ready for public comment. We have sent it to the Names Council and to you, Philip, and we're simply waiting, I guess, for ICANN to post it for public comment.
Okay, so this again is an output of a title. I think with the review report, that the public comment was done via the DNSO secretariat. So that might be the same process, Glenn, if you're there, perhaps to do with Milton's .org report, the same sort of process that we've just done for the review interim report.
Milton, did I miss it, or did we get the date for comments closing?
Well, since it hasn't been formally posted for public comment, what we've done is the task force has finished a draft, which the members have accepted as putting out for public comment.
And how long would you envisage it being out for public comment?
It has to be out for 30 days.
So just following that, it's Marilyn, if something can get posted shortly, we're still going to be past the ICANN meeting for the close, right, Milton?
Actually, we could still make it.
Could we?
If it were posted today.
Okay. So the 30 days is an ICANN requirement, is it?
That's my understanding.
Okay. But, I mean, it may be a difference between, because these are still DNSO activities. I mean, it's a slightly new procedure for us. But if we have my feeling is, to some extent, there could be two times where there's a public comment period. One, which is a shorter period where a task force has produced a report and it wants to get some comment, mostly from within the DNSO, and therefore ask the council and the GA and the secretariat to do so. The council then adopt a final paper, and that is then sent by the council to ICANN, who would then put it in terms of their public comment period for that final report. And that may be the 30-day requirement.
Philip, this is Ken Stubbs. Can I make a comment here?
Elizabeth as well.
I'd like to comment on an observation that's been made on a continuous basis by YJ, and that is that there are many non-English-speaking people who need to take the time to be able to, first of all, digest these proposals and papers and go back and get a consultative process with their constituencies. And in the past, we've always tried to allow for an adequate time period and have been roundly criticized when we've not done that. So my personal feeling is that if we're going to modify or make any changes in the time period that's necessary for these comments, that we make sure that we're very, very sympathetic to those issues that both that YJ has brought up in the past.
Yeah, that's a good point, Ken. Elizabeth.
Yes, thank you very much, Philip. I wanted to add that your recollection of our process with proposals is quite correct. The first round is on the DNSO, and then somebody needs to incorporate or take into account the comments before the it goes to the Names Council for approval and then being sent out for public comments on ICANN website. So, unfortunately, Marilyn, I don't believe we may make it for November in Marina del Rey.
My thinking was that we had been asked by the board to come up with a policy by October 11th, and I was trying to compress the. I spoke about this with Louis actually. If we went through the 30-day public comment period at this stage, then we could actually sign or not in Marina del Rey, and if we were able to agree in November, the board, as I understood from Louis, would be very happy because they would have more time to draw up a request for proposals. Remember, we have a hard deadline here of December 2002 in which the board must be divested. So I was simply trying to combine two public comment periods into one and thought that that had been justified by the request of the board.
May I speak? This is Louis.
Yep,
Louis. I just, Teresa pulled me in here, although I really need to leave in a moment. The resolution, which was passed in Stockholm referring this matter to the DNSO, did, as Milton said, ask the Names Council to provide a report on its progress on issues that were referred, including any policy recommendations it has developed, no later than the 12th of October, which would be tomorrow. Now, if the Names Council hasn't gone through the process that it feels is appropriate to itself come up with a recommendation as distinct from one of its task forces, it should deal with that in whatever way appropriate. But the requested schedule was that the Names Council itself
provide its report and policy recommendations by the 12th of October. And obviously, until we get that, it's not appropriate to go through the ICANN level commenting cycle.
Sure, and that's where the 30 days is standard. Is that correct?
Well, actually, it's there's no hard and fast deadline. Our guideline is to try to get 28 days whenever we can.
Right. Okay. Philip?
Yeah, this is Ken Stubbs again, and I'm going to request a point of clarification, and if you want to put it under any old business at the end, that's fine. I'm terribly confused about a whole bunch of issues with respect to the meeting in November. Basically, exactly, one, you know, are we even meeting in November, the names council?
Okay, well,
number two, what issues are we going to be doing? And number three, where do these processes stand in respect to the November deal? The comments that Louis made with respect to the requests were made in Stockholm were made before all of this, everything got turned upside down. So
okay.
I don't know if we're working, what deadlines we're working on, and whether or not if you knock yourself out to accomplish something with respect to a deadline, whether it's meaningful at all, if it's just going to sit there and lay. So
yeah,
I'd sure like some
okay.
help.
I think that's the reason. In terms of the detail of LA, we're going to come on to that in item 5, but there is going to be, at the moment, opportunities for both security and standard agenda issues
on this
issue to be discussed, and including this issue. But I think this reaction to what Louis was saying, I think my feeling is that indeed at this stage we could have a public comment period that would be the shorter than 28 days in order to have something before the council, and indeed there could then potentially be a longer period once the council submits something to the board. And you'll be happy with that, Milton?
Yeah, I think that would be fine if as long as there is adequate opportunity for the broader
okay.
public to comment.
Well, perhaps you could advise the secretariat then what you wanted, bearing in mind an objective to have something before the council by LA. I'll do that offline, but advise Glenn in terms of what seems to be a good option on that. So was there another comment on this same issue?
I was going to propose something very similar. Does that accord with what is required by ICANN? Is it okay for ICANN to have a comment period on an interim draft report, Louis?
Certainly. In fact, typical. As I understand, the Names Council's process for appointing these task forces is they are not charged to go off and make recommendations that automatically become official Names Council recommendations. Instead, they're just part of the general consensus development process that the Names Council is charged with coordinating.
Yep.
And more comments are the typical thing in the past. And I would also say that with respect to Philip's comments, or whoever it was, it's obviously correct that a resolution passed in Stockholm was passed before the focus of the meeting was changed. As I understand, the board agenda in November is going to be very much security and stability focused, and there may not be any cost in terms of overall progress to the Names Council taking a fuller process.
Okay, Louis, thanks for that. Louis, while you're on, can we just skip back to one item when you were off the call? On the who is, Paul Kane had mentioned the fact that you're having some technical difficulties in data processing, but he wondered what your deadline was for sorting those out and having something that the who is task force can work with.
Yes, well, as I've discussed with Paul, singularly, we have been subjected to the tyranny of Bill Gates. But we are hopeful that in the next few days we will be able to complete the data processing that Paul suggested. There
okay.
were some limitations in the software that caused some of the rather lengthy responses to be truncated, and we're trying to address that issue.
Okay, thanks for that. Last item on this item then is the...
Bill, can I just keep us on .org for one
Okay, sorry, Milton, just go ahead, and then YJ.
I think it's very important to try to get a Names Council vote in Marina Del Rey. I don't see any... I really think if you have a realistic perspective on what it takes to for people to put together proposals and for the board to select proposals, that we have to give the board the policy in November. And I don't think, at least as far as the task force is concerned, I think we've reached a pretty strong sense of consensus around fundamental issues. That there's no reason we couldn't make some other modifications and have something ready by November.
Okay, that sounds very good. YJ, you want to talk?
And stubs after
well,
YJ.
Ken, okay, yeah.
Thank you, Ken, for understanding me. I'm sort of confused right now because about this .org discussion right now. I think, as we said, we are supposed to announce this Names Council position tomorrow, right? And then I don't really see why we cannot really decide our position yet, because that task force's report was circulated in advance quite enough for Names Council members to consider. And so if we can come up with this task force report, probably we can get enough time period for comment before the November meeting, and I don't see the problem here. What kind of problem do we have not to decide that position here?
Okay, YJ, I think what you're saying is in accord with what Milton's telling us, and we're happy with that.
Actually, she's saying we should vote now.
Yeah, that's...
All right, you're saying, okay, well, that's even quicker. I think we quite have a problem in doing that, and we do need to go a little wider than where we are now.
A lot of cases for Names Council to cast a vote, even some kind of report, which was just circulated a day before, sometimes 2 days earlier, but Names Council cast a vote, and with... I mean, compared to that cases, this task force report was circulated quite in advance, which we could have some time to cast a vote and could have some time decide our position, I guess.
Philip, can I get to you? It's Marilyn.
Marilyn, yes, go ahead, and then Ken, I have
a... If I understand what YJ is proposing, that we vote now, I really can't support that the Names Council take a vote until this is posted for comment. And I think, although I think the task force has done a terrific job of outreach, and I really want to applaud you guys for the outreach efforts you've made, at least to the business constituency and the dialogue that you've maintained, I do think that it is important to have the posting to take wider comment from the rest of the community, but I do think that we ought to be able to vote on it in Marina Del Rey.
Peter. Okay, Ken and then Peter.
All right, fine. Thank you. First of all, I want to agree and echo Melton's comments with respect to getting something concrete done by Marina Del Rey, and I do recognize that there is a significant deadline problem. The comments that I made were only an attempt to make certain that there was an adequate outreach for areas that have been recognized in the past as deficiencies. I would also have to agree with Marilyn, and I think that we definitely need to have a public comment period, and if there is some flexibility here, then let's set a date of less than 28 days. Louis has indicated that's not necessarily cast in concrete, but a standard that we try to keep to, but let's set it up for, I'm going to propose a 21-day comment period, which if we do it right now will give us 10 days prior to the Marina Del Rey meeting to review the comments and kind of bring it all together, if that makes sense to the rest of you.
Milton, you comfortable with 21 days, or do you want to...
I was actually thinking of 14, but if 21 would...
The 21 give you time to take in input from the comments and to make a final report?
I would be concerned about the ability of the task force to absorb and make any modifications. The There is one kind of open issue which we specifically request comments, and that has to do with registrars. So I could not vote on it now until that issue is resolved, because it's basically an incomplete document on that score.
Okay, well, perhaps if the rest of the council agrees, we can let Milton come up with what seems to be the right balance between the length of the outreach period and the need to have the task force evaluating the results, but with a timetable of getting something in adequate time for the council to consider and then vote on in Marina Del Rey.
Can I ask about the time frame? Because, just in case, if we cannot meet the requested from the board, and in a series of that instance, we probably might not meet the date which was described in this very science agreement, which is supposed to divest their ORG to other registry. Would we imagine such kind of happening then?
Philip, can I get in queue?
Yes, indeed. But Peter first.
Yeah, well, I'm just wanting to reinforce what Ken was saying. I do not think we need any, in more internal names council DNSO comment period. I feel we should move the document directly into the public comment. And if any of us want to have any individual comments.
Hello, good morning. Tony Harris joining.
Tony, you're very welcome.
If any one of us have any individual comments, we can make them. And that we squeeze the comment period down to 21 days or a little bit less if Milton feels he needs more time to finalize or integrate the comments. Because, frankly, if we don't deliver some policy recommendation, the board is going to act anyway.
Yep. And also, Marilyn.
Let me just address YJ's concern, which I think is a very valid concern, and I think we all share it. And I think we are committed to compressing the process in a way to make sure that we give the board and the staff sufficient time to be able to do a valid solicitation. So if we, let's do all we can, get it voted on in Marina Del Rey, and then be prepared to do whatever else is necessary to facilitate the process so there is a solicitation in a timely manner. So I think everyone on the Names Council supports that.
Okay, well, thanks for that. Let's move on, if we may, then, Milton, and we'll leave you with the guidance you've heard in terms of, I think, a part of the comment period, somewhere between 14 and 21 days, and make a decision yourself or with the task force in terms of what's going to be appropriate for processing the input as well.
That's good.
And so, YJ, could I invite you to talk briefly on update for the GETLD evaluation group?
Before we move on, let me just know that I joined the call, because I wasn't announced, I believe.
That's Axel, is it?
Yes, that's Axel.
Axel, you're very welcome. YJ.
UGTLD Evaluation Task Force had a meeting in Montevideo, and after then there have been a lot of delay because of the incident happened in the States.
Sure.
But there were some requests from some members. We wanted to discuss this more seriously. Especially, there was some request to have another face-to-face meeting in Marina Del Rey. And before that, the draft of captions regarding property policy and business will be circulated this week, at the end of this week. And based on that, we can move on to email discussion and probably before Marina Del Rey meeting, we are planning some county conference to have more substantial discussion.
Okay. Thank you for that. Any questions for YJ? Or comments? Okay. Then that looks clear enough. I think we've done item two, and we'll move on to item three, which is the proposed Names Council response to the statement that the GAC made in Montevideo concerning country and geographical names. Now, as you see for this, I circulated an original text some days ago. There have been a number of suggested amendments to that, mostly friendly amendments, that I have been able to incorporate into the text, which improved and updated it. There were a couple of typographical errors that we spotted also today, and so I circulated a final text which just cleaned those up. the thrust of the statement, I hope you've all read one version or an earlier version of the same, is basically calling upon the GAC in terms of caution for the move it wanted for the reservation of .info names, and is suggesting that the better place to look at the various issues that the GAC had raised concerning not just country names but also regional and other geographical indications should be the United Nations Agency, the World Intellectual Property Organization, combined with consultation within the DNSO. So can I have your comments and questions on this proposed resolution?
Caroline.
Ken, after Caroline. Okay, let me just take a list. I've got Caroline, I've got Ken.
Caroline.
Elizabeth.
Marilyn.
Caroline, Ken, Elizabeth.
Milton.
Erica.
Marilyn.
Roger.
Erica. Roger. We'll start with that list. Caroline.
Hi, everybody.
On section one, my amendment, friendly or not, would be to put a period at the end of .info. I think that where we say about a function of a restriction.
Wait a minute. So you're on the numbered item under Names Council Advisors.
Right, exactly.
Yeah. It's not inherent to .info.
Right. To be clear, which version are you speaking from?
Version 9.
Version 9.
Version 9 is indeed the latest version.
Okay, so we should have version 9 in front of us.
Yeah. Although version 8 is very similar, it's just got a different numbering system.
I think there is one theory that...
So you're suggesting that .info has a period and then we delete but a function of restriction supplier domain names?
Yeah, because I think that is a conclusion that is subject to debate, and I guess I don't feel, I would not be able to support that because I, you know, it all goes into the arguments of artificial scarcity and
okay.
Again.
Right. Then, if that's a question of, I'm happy to take that out. We're on the first numbered point under Names Council Advises. So it's after the two pages of whereas is, and Caroline is suggesting that we put a full stop or a period after the mention of .info, and we take out the phrase, but a function of restriction supply of domain names. I'm happy to do that. Does anybody object to taking that out?
I do.
I support taking it out, so maybe we need to move it to at the end after we go through comments and then talk about each of the things.
Okay, so Ms., did you say you do object to that coming out?
Yes, unless it's going to be put in somewhere else.
Okay, then we have to talk about it in a moment.
And again, that's just something.
Yeah, okay, carry on then, yeah.
Right, and again, my theory is, or my my argument is that while that's a very valid argument about the artificial scarcity, again, I've heard through our DNSO process that there's also the flip side of the coin, and I just don't think we should be making one conclusion or the other in this resolution. In part four, I just have, a stupid question. If I'm going to agree and make the statement that there are sound technical reasons for the reservation of two-letter country codes, what are those reasons?
Paul Kane, can I invite you to explain that?
Yeah, the early resolvers of on the Internet basically have an issue with single and two-letter TLDs and also digits, which results in them not actually referring to the top-level root server system. The number of servers that are affected, I have to say, is unbelievably small. It's a matter of a few percent, but it is apparent and possibly applicable if that's what the Names Council thinks.
But in that case, there's no reason to refer to two-letter country codes. It would refer to any two-letter second-level domain.
With the two-letter domains, if another country code, they don't exist. And therefore it will by default then go to the root and then come back that way. If it does exist, it will go to the two-letter country code root server system. So if the two letters don't exist...
it would be much clearer then just to say that there are technical reasons for the reservation, or rather exclusion, of two-letter second-level names.
But it is a function, I think, as Paul is explaining it, merely of those restricted country codes.
What? How can any mechanism see that a two-letter label is a country code or not a country code without resolving it?
Precisely.
It has to be the length of the string. It can't have anything to do with the country code.
Milton, in answer to your question, I mean, it was simply referring back to the GAC, to the contents of the GAC, to link those two concepts together, rather than making a pure point in terms of the technical side of it.
Can I ask Paul a question about the technical side of it? I know I'm out of order, but...
Go ahead, as we're on that point, yeah.
Paul, at some point we are going to see a upgrade of the over 100,000 name servers and other servers driven by DNSSEC and IPv6.
Mm-hmm.
When that upgrade happens, is it assumed that all of the name servers that are operated will be, pardon me for using the phrase, captured in some way for an upgrade, or we may still have outliers?
No, the if everyone is upgraded, there won't be an issue. Mm-hmm. If one upgraded the system today, it would not be an issue. It is for customer or for users of the internet who have old resolvers in place.
Yes. Okay.
Okay. Back to Caroline then.
Well, I guess then I would just, when it says there are sound, you know, technical reasons, I don't, maybe the sound bothers me. I mean, we just say there are technical reasons, you know.
Let me take that out.
And again, I'll leave it to, again, because it's an area I'm not as familiar with the technical side about whether we say two-letter country codes or just two-letter.
Okay. Yeah, can I just very briefly, if, for example, one has XX, because there are no servers out there with XX as a country code, as it were, it will by default go to the root and then go to, it will actually look at the whole address. So that's the big difference. But it's you know, I'm relaxed either way.
Okay, but the phrasing we have at the moment is accurate in context, is it?
Yes, it is.
Thank you. Ken, go on next minute.
Well, I'm going to start out with a couple of issues, and then I'd like to comment later on. First of all, I'm somewhat confused by some of the basic tenets here of this statement as opposed to my understanding of where we stand with the Names Council in terms of facilitating and coordinating consensus. This is not necessarily a manifestation of our process as I see it. I'm a little concerned because it seems to me like we are, in effect, taking unto ourselves a decision to warn the board that we think that there is something that is going on here that we frankly don't like. What I'm looking at here is an arrangement that was made between a registry and a modification, actually not even a modification, but was covered under a contract that the registry had with ICANN. And I'm concerned about the comment about, quote, restriction on supply of domains, comments with respect to confusion. I don't think it's confusion. I think what we have are some people who are concerned that at some point in time somebody is liable to step in and do a lot more than they're currently perceived as being, how would I put it? I wouldn't use the word allowed even. And I'm just thinking that we're making more out of this at this point in time than need be made. And I just don't want to create some sort of an artificial confrontation at a point in time when we really, frankly, don't need an additional set of distractions here. So I'll start from that standpoint and then, you know.
Okay. Yep. Thanks for that. Next on the list is somebody whose name I can't read. It's not Marilyn, it's not Milton, it's not Erica, it's not Roger. Who else asked?
Elizabeth,
thank you. Elizabeth, please go ahead.
Yes, thank you very much, Philip. I already sent a message to the council list, and in the support of GAC decision and ICANN board decision as it stands today, and my position do not change. I believe that the it is my understanding that opening new GTLD, the purpose of new GTLD is to give the space for business, for companies, for all this, for the commerce, for services on the internet. The purpose of new GTLD is not to play game, I'm sorry for using that word, with people feeling, with national feeling, with something which will by boomerang come back to us, and I'm afraid. And there is only one France. There is only one for each country you may mention. And it is something precious. It is people feeling. We have countries, we have flags, we have... There is no competition on something, on these things. It is even not trademark, because it was considered much above. And the internet, the new GTLD, as I recall, is really for extend space, for give possibility to no, new company. It is not to play a game with national feeling. Therefore, I don't support this resolutions, which how they go here.
Richard Kindle joined you.
I'm sorry.
Karen Elizabeth, the operator was talking. Carry on.
So the let's stick to what is our business, and let's also accept that the people who are in charge of government and whose concern is public order. French meaning of that word is perfectly clear, so Philippe or other French-speaking persons, just please say it in English correctly. The l'ordre public,
it's the same.
It is something which government I consent. I wish also to mention to you that when we look on CCTLD, which started, as you know, 15 years ago, not the very first one, because the very first one, it was necessary to put enormous amount of money to make connectivity in early days. But a little bit later on, some CCTLD code was not given to or distributed, affected, whatever name you put it, to the people from territories corresponding to CCTLD, and we have several cases like this, and we are several years later, and we have still problems. So I'm just willing to have it stated somewhere that it is the names on the internet is not only names. Thank you.
Okay, Elizabeth, thank you for that. Marilyn, you're next on the list.
My comment is really about supporting the concept that there has to be a process which offers clarity and consistency across the GTLDs. And I really cannot see one new GTLD being singled out and that being the end of the effort. I think that there was maybe a private exchange or a semi-public exchange between me and a couple of other people where I support the idea that this is the more than the nose of the camel under the tent. And I don't mean to be critical of the GAC for raising the question, but I do think that we can't say that their concerns and are being addressed by a solution for one GTLD. I think that would be the start, but not the finish. And I'm a strong supporter on behalf of business users for consistency. And I support the idea that the process has to involve WIPO, but have broad participation from other affected entities. And if the Names Council is committed to participating in the WIPO process, I think that that's good. I just note that one thing we might think about doing is asking for an accelerated consideration from WIPO.
Okay. Can I respond to that, or should I? You want to put me in line?
I'll put you in line then, because you've got quite a list here. Thanks, Ken. Marilyn, thank you for that, and now Milton.
Yes, I'm. I think this is a very important watershed, and I'm as many of you as guests, even more concerned about this than this resolution. I would like to have a stronger resolution, but I'm willing to go with this kind of middle ground. If you understand one of the fundamental principles upon which ICANN was created, it was created as a private sector organization, and at the last minute, governments insisted on having some kind of a role in it, so we created an advisory commission, which was meant to keep them out, but also to keep them at the table, informed, some avenue for communication. What I see happening with this GAC resolution is essentially the formal status of the GAC becoming, in effect, a supporting organization that speaks directly to the board, and that policies that are passed in the GAC become immediately implemented by the board, which was not my understanding of what ICANN was about. If we want ICANN to become an intergovernmental organization, which effectively bypasses the other bottom-up representation methods, such as the DNSO, this is precisely how it's going to happen. And if you look at certain historical precedents, Intelsat comes to mind. You know, there are precedents for things that were started as presumably private corporations eventually becoming intergovernmental in character. So if we're going to make that transformation, it has to be all above board. It can't be in some kind of gradual camel's nose under the tent fashion. I think our concerns were that, particularly in number three, we thank Philip for incorporating the concept that the Internet community should be represented as well as WIPO, that there are issues, which Paul, I think, eloquently explained, there are issues regarding how domain names function and what domain names are that have to be taken into account, not just intellectual property expertise. And of course, the problem with this is that governments don't have intellectual property in the traditional sense in the names of places and geographic regions. But that's another issue. The final point I'd like to make is I don't understand why the country code registries are not screaming even louder than I am about this, because what this means, is, in effect, is that the GAC believes that country code registries are irrelevant. It means that if France wants people to look for information about France on the Internet, they don't believe that they should look under .fr. They believe that they have to look under .info.
Can you put me on the queue, please?
Okay.
GTLDs. I mean, it seems to me the governments currently have very clear channels for creating their own websites, and that the natural place to do this would be under their own country code. And I just don't understand why we are flattening the DNS and assuming that anybody who has any claim to a name must have that claim across all top-level domains.
Peter on the queue.
Okay, Milton, Peter noted. Milton, thank you for that. Erica, you're next.
Well, I'll try and keep my comments brief. First of all, I think a lot of work has gone into this, and the development version 9 reflects that. And I'd like to congratulate Philip and all people who have been involved in that. I'm very supportive of this proposal, because I think it's not because, as Milton suggests, it's a matter of principle for me, although I sympathise and understand with Milton's position. I also sympathise with Elizabeth's position, and highlighting the importance of country names to some countries. My concern is a much more pragmatic one. It's a process-oriented one. It's all very well to ask for these names to be protected in whatever form they get to be protected. We have to be very clear about what names are in question. We are not currently clear about what names are in question. The only clarity we have is that at least it involves the two-letter country codes. And I think we've taken a very sound approach to that. That's something that can perhaps be tolerated. What can't be tolerated is a much vaguer request, and that is something we're taking a very modest approach on, I think, and just requesting the GAC and the board to reconsider the recommendation and to provide us with greater clarity by working through consultative processes, and that those consultative processes should involve WIPO and the Names Council. Now, it seems to me that it doesn't much matter whether we feel strongly, or whether individuals on the council feel strongly in favour of the GAC's proposal or strongly against the GAC's proposal. We still need to go through these processes in order to ensure that whatever the outcome is, it's something that's practical and can in fact be implemented without causing great confusion to both the supply side of the demand of the supply chain and the demand people. And so I guess it's for those reasons I think that it's well worth our while to support this. The final point I think we need to be clear upon is the need for speed. The board has already considered this. It's going to go forward regardless of anything we do. I think the Names Council could only gain by showing that it is able to respond in a responsible way and timely way to issues as they arise, such as this.
Okay, thank you very much for that. Roger, you're next.
I wanted to make a couple of comments, mostly about process, because I think that the Names Council almost tragically missed a real opportunity to be the focal point of an important policy development area. First, I'd say if this is not domain names policy, I don't know what is. My impression is that this is exactly the sort of thing that the Names Council was created to address, and that is how do you treat domain names where there are conflicting legitimate interests or claims that could be made on them. And the board at the Montevideo meeting, it's my impression, was inclined to simply go ahead with the GAC recommendation, except for the fact that a number of members of the Names Council intervened and made clear that this should be studied by the Names Council, and the Names Council given a chance to do its job and examine the policy aspects of this before the board acted on the GAC recommendation. What is sort of always astonished me was that instead of doing what I thought we'd agreed to do in Montevideo, and that is set up a study group to look into this with great care, we went through what I thought was a rather clumsy sort of public discussion on the subject. One of the things one understands very quickly when you get into this subject is that there are strongly held views that have a very legitimate basis on either side. Contrary to the point that Milton was making earlier, where he was describing governments as attempting to regulate this area, in fact, I would describe governments as being more akin to stakeholders or more akin to intellectual property right holders who, if they don't enter the debate as attempted regulators, have every right to participate in the debate as would a trademark holder, and because they assert they have a claim to the name. On the other hand, network operators, I think, are only too aware that if we go down this path, what makes the rights of the people of Panama greater than the rights of the people of New York City, or the people of Delaware, the people of Bavaria, or whatnot? So it's a difficult issue that can best be addressed, in my experience, by a small group of people who are sensitive to the conflicting interests, trying to work out a procedure that serves everybody's or meets everybody's or responds to everybody's concerns, a public discussion where people sort of repeat what are obvious conflicting interests rarely kind of moves that forward. So my main comment is that in light of the fact that the Names Council did not undertake the study that was needed, it's not surprising that ICANN management concluded that it had to do it itself with or without the Names Council, which is where the ICANN board study group originated. So we can't set the clock back. I think we had an opportunity to take the lead in this discussion, and we failed to do that. But I think having failed in the first instance to take a leadership role in sort of hammering out a mutually understood or recognized arrangement, we ought not fail in the second round, and that is to at least be a part of the dialogue that's now about to take place otherwise without us. So that's a long-winded way of saying that having painted ourselves into the corner of that we're now in, I think that the last section of this resolution, which encourages that the Names Council at least get a seat at the table of these discussions, is a great understatement for the role that we should be playing, but nonetheless, all we could hope for at this point.
All right, thank you for that. Peter, you're next.
Yeah, there's three comments. First of all, just in general, I agree with the concept that two-letter country codes, that if those countries want to have Paris FR or if they want to have Canada.ca, they're in a very good position to use their country code. My second comment is that once this gets started in .info or any GTLD, the mission creep is going to happen. First, it's going to be Canada.info, and then what about Ontario, which is like a province, and then what about Toronto, and at what point does it stop? So I don't really, while I could possibly agree that ISO 3166s could qualify in there, I generally object to this this whole idea of these reservations. With respect to what Roger was talking about, he says we lost our opportunity by not responding quickly enough. Well, whether or not we as a Names Council responded quickly enough, I have a big objection to Stewart and the ICANN board just coming up unilaterally and issuing a document saying we're going to reserve all of these names until whenever. I think this is clearly, this is certainly domain name policy, and it bypasses the Name Council completely. So I would suggest, you know, to make a bottom line out of this, that at the end of Philip's document where it says the Names Council therefore calls upon the ICANN board, ABC, instead of to invite the Names Council to participate, to somehow make that stronger in that we would expect and we would want to reinforce that this process of domain name policy consistent with the ICANN mission should be a bottom-up process and not a top-down unilateral decision. That's it.
Well, Peter, thanks very much. Just before I take any second rounds, is anybody who hasn't spoken yet who would like
Elizabeth,
to?
Elizabeth, I am on queue.
You're on queue for round two, Elizabeth, as is Ken. I just wanted to give anybody else a chance who hasn't spoken yet.
I'll be very brief, if I may, Philip. Do bear in mind that this is for the English names, I think it was agreed, or basically this is the reservation of English names. There are a multitude of languages out there, and of course it will not be applying to English names. I just want to put that on record.
Thanks for clarification. Was there somebody else who wanted to speak?
Philip, Tony Holmes. Just to say I share a lot of the concerns that have been expressed, particularly mission creep, which I think is the critical one here, and on that basis, more than happy to support what's currently in the draft.
Very good, thank you, Tony. Anybody else?
And YJ here.
YJ.
Well, actually, first I would like to sympathize the Roger's concern regarding the DNS that could not provide the policy first, but I think that was sort of DNS was choice. When UGTLD was introduced first, we deferred to that ICANN criteria rather than decide what it is the process. So probably this is sort of outcome of this whole our own decision. And then my second concern is, as I wrote to the Names Council list 1 hour ago, I think it would be probably desirable to include more regional or internet community consultation body, which is rather than just WIPO and DNSO, which was addressed by Milton Owens. And right now, what we have is just WIPO and DNSO in the number three. But if we could add those regional organizations for more consultation, it might make this process more legitimate, and which can also solve the problems which addressed by Elizabeth, because this is in some sense related with own government positions, which has not been really well presented in WIPO and DNSO and or in WIPO. We have more related bodies.
So can I get in queue?
Okay, YJ, thank you for that. Marilyn, yes, you're on queue too. Then anybody else who hasn't spoken yet who would like to speak? Nope. Then I'm going to go on to queue two, which is Ken first, then Elizabeth, then Marilyn.
I guess it boils down to a couple of things here. First of all, I'm in sympathy with Roger's conclusions at the end. What I tried to stress over and over again was the fact that I did not want to get involved in some sort of a negotiation process where we've created a confrontation. So I'm going to take each one of the things and explain why. First of all, item number one, the concept of calling this a function in the restriction of supply of domain names is a real stretch here, and that bothers me. The idea of using the words damaging and confusing, you know, I don't really think we're even in a position to evaluate the impact of any decision that was made 3 weeks ago. So it sounds to me like that what we're doing is we're setting a tone here that makes allegations that we can't even support at this point in time. Milton is talking about a concept. The concept, as I see it, is not necessarily consistent with the statements that we're making. If we're going to request that the board get us involved in a consultative process, I see no problem with that. What I do see is putting in a bunch of what I consider to be very, I will use the word shallow reluctantly, very shallow reasons as to what's been done so far and its impact. And it's kind of like saying, shame on you, but there's still a chance for us to get it straightened out. And I just think that sets the wrong tone for any potential participation in the future. That's all.
Okay, Ken.
Excuse me, Philip. This is Guillermo. Caroline, I was kicked off of the line because she's trying to get back in.
Okay.
If I have a direct number, maybe the operator can call her back.
Right. Glenn, can you try and help with that?
Yes.
Thank you.
The number is... I'll send Glenn the number.
It's all right. I think Glenn will know the number. I think perhaps Glenn, if you talk to the operator and help with Caroline, who's dropped off the call. Thank you.
All right.
Thank you.
Elizabeth.
Thank you, Philip. Elizabeth, back on this comment. Milton was speaking that governments have all rights within their national CCTLD to take care. This is absolutely true. And on national level, there is a local participation, and in countries, the local internet community are discussing. There is, however, something much more different within GTLD. The naming policy of GTLD is established on a global level. And we need in such a situation to consult to include everybody in discussions and to include not only technical parameters on naming space, but also this perception, this strong national perception. And this global space cannot be just governed by us, by people sitting on the Names Council and by people sitting on ICANN board. We cannot just take on our shoulders whatever process we may have and whatever 100 or 200 or 300 people we may listen. We need to give adequate weight, which is when we have comment provided by governments. So this is just my point, that we are touching something very political in the naming space, in global space, and I just warn that it needs to be addressed in adequate manner.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you. And Marilyn.
Of course, I agree with what you just said, Elizabeth, and I think I agree with Ken that the tone can definitely and probably does need to be softened in this. I think that YJ's concern, which is a very valid one, that the language about consultation needs to ensure that there is participation by internet stakeholder community would be a good amendment. I'm not sure who regional organizations or internet relevant organizations are at this point. That's a little hard to define, so perhaps we could make a friendly edit to item 3 to just include others from the other interested stakeholders from the internet community or language of that nature, which might ensure that there's consultation and outreach. The way that WIPO works is that they take requests from their members. So we need to remember that in sending this back.
Marilyn, does music sort of waft as soon as you start talking, or is there something wrong?
It's your aura, Marilyn, and it's lovely. It really is.
Hello, do you want to ask the operator to cut off?
Yeah.
Doing that?
We also need to think that in structuring this, we just need to reflect how the request is made so that it can be accepted by WIPO. And I think I said in a posting earlier, we want to structure our request, keeping in mind how they can respond in the way that the Names Council thinks that they should, that is, accepting broader participation in the consultation.
Okay, Marilyn, that's great. Have we finished the list of speakers? Yes. Am I being heard, by the way?
Yep. Yes, you are.
Okay, I've just had a star zero before now, so I might have been cut off. Okay, what I think I'll do, if I may, is propose a couple of edits, having heard everything so far, and then see if after those we can move to take a vote on this. The first edit I'm proposing is, under Names Council Advises, item 1, that we take out the phrase, but a functional restriction supply of domain names, that was requested by Carolyn and Ken, and indeed I think it is straying into alternative areas, and is making a point that we don't need to make here, and if that will help the resolution, then I'm happy to take that out. The second point I'm suggesting, we under item 2, is that we change the language there to read, in other domain names, is potentially damaging to suppliers and confusing to users. That under item 3, we add at the end, and other relevant stakeholders, the point that YJ and Marilyn are talking about. Under item 4, we remove the word sound, and that's it.
Philip, could I offer maybe a modification to the amendment on 2?
Yeah.
Perhaps it might read, the Names Council is concerned that the retrospective action of the nature the GAC is seeking and other domain names could be damaging to suppliers and confusing to users. It's similar, I think, to yours, but it's sort of...
Well, at the moment it's under a bullet, which a list of things which the Names Council advises. So.
Yeah. Well, then it could be worded to say, advises that the Names Council is concerned, rather than, because this is a very direct statement, and I think could be easily misunderstood by the GAC.
That's why I think you need to take it out entirely, because it's stretching a conclusion. I'm sure you can find a user who would argue that the UDRP is confusing, and I don't think we want to get into something like that at this point in time. I think that STU is something that just frankly isn't necessarily an issue that needs to be enforced or made with this. We've got complexity, we've got concerns, technical aspects, but why we have to get into this idea of damage is beyond me at this point.
Could I respond to that?
Okay, Milton?
I think that is one of the fundamental points here, that you cannot, that creating this institutional framework of ICANN, it's relatively unstable enough. We don't really, have all of the pieces in place, and one of my main concerns about the GAC action, it really, as Erica suggested, has nothing to do with the substance. It's just that you can't intervene at the last minute in this way without quite literally damaging the certainty of investment and completely confusing user expectations as to what they can get out of this new domain name process. I think that point has to stay in there because it's one of the fundamental problems with what's happened.
Well, can I try another amendment?
Okay.
It softens it considerably, but I think would keep it, and that is something like the Names Council does not believe that there is yet a full understanding of the implications of the retrospective action of the kind the GAC seeks. Period. Or maybe we say in other domain names, period. That takes out the is damaging, it
okay.
takes out the conclusion.
And I think that makes sense, because that's really the point I was trying to make. We really don't have an assessment.
Okay, I'm happy with that. So I'm taking that as a friendly amendment. Item 2 is being changed to the wording that there is not a full understanding of the retrospective action of the kind GAC seeks.
A full understanding of the,
implications
for suppliers and users.
Implications to suppliers and users, yes? So that reads that there is not a full understanding of the implications to suppliers and users of the retrospective action of the kind GAC seeks.
That's good.
There are the amendments I'm proposing, and I would propose to move to a vote now.
I'd like to second that.
Thank you. Well, Erica seconding?
Yes.
Before we do, Carrie, you aren't doing any speaking. One would like to speak to point 4 again.
Carrie, please.
Okay, would it be possible, I'm a little bit upset about the declarative aspect of 4. Could we say that any technical reasons that may exist for reserving two-letter country codes do not extend to country names? That if there are reasons, which there very well may be, they don't apply to full country names.
Okay, but, you want to change it to that there are any that any technical reasons for reservation of two-country codes do not extend to.
Yes.
Okay. I'm happy with that amendment. So that any technical reasons the reservation of the two-letter country codes in ISO 3166 do not extend to country names. Okay, so with those amendments I'm proposing, Erica has seconded this.
Philippe, I'm sorry.
Vote. Well, Elizabeth, is it?
It is. I would like you reread 4 items just slowly to be sure I understand.
Okay, then I will do that. Item 1, okay, these are the changes. So item 1, the Names Council advises that while it understands the concerns of the GAC, caution should be exercised to avoid a short-term reaction to a problem that is not inherent to .info. Item 2, that there is not a full understanding of the implications to suppliers and users of the retrospective action of the kind GAC seeks. Item 3, that due to inherent complexity, the best forum for governments to seek solutions to the problems perceived by the GAC is the existing forum for such intellectual property expertise, namely the Intergovernmental Specialized UN Agency, WIPO, combined with existing forum for representing the internet community and policy making, the DNSO, and other relevant stakeholders. Item 4,
that any technical reasons for the reservation of the two-letter country codes in ISO 31661 do not extend to country names. And the text after that remains unchanged. So let's, on the basis of those amendments, move to a vote. Marilyn Cade.
Right. I support the resolution as modified.
Thank you. Grant Forsyth.
I support.
Caroline, are you with us? Caroline, are you back with us?
It was said that she was on the call.
She sent an email around saying she was cut off, and she gave her proxy. Didn't anyone else see that? She gave her proxy to Yermar, I think.
Oh, yes, okay. Thank you for that. I'll take Axel next in on the line. Axel?
Yes, I support.
Support Anguillamo, then your vote and a proxy for Caroline.
Okay, first for Caroline, I support the motion. And for myself, I have to abstain. I have a conflict of interest representing a client.
Okay,
so
that's fine. YJ, your vote.
Yes,
thank you. Vanny, your vote. Vanny, are you with us yet?
He has not.
No, doesn't like it. Milton.
Yes.
Ken.
I'm still looking at the wording, so would you go ahead now?
I'll come back to you. Erica.
Yes, I support the motion.
Paul.
Yes.
Peter.
Yes.
Elizabeth.
Give me a few seconds, I am reading.
Okay. Tony Harris.
Yes, I support.
Greg.
Yes.
Tony Holmes.
Support.
Roger.
Yes.
Harry.
Yes.
Richard.
I'm sorry, don't say it again, please.
Richard, your vote.
I'm in favour.
Thank you. I'm coming back to you, Ken, for your vote.
Yes.
Thank you. And Elizabeth, your vote. Elizabeth, abstain if you're unsure.
Yes. Well, I believe if I reread correctly, I am inclined to say yes,
okay,
as it is worded.
I take that as a yes, then. Thank you very much.
Philip, Elizabeth has Oscar's proxy.
Yes, indeed. Oscar, and the proxy for Oscar.
I believe Oscar's answer would be yes.
Splendid. Thank you very much. We have that carrying by a substantial majority, votes in favor with one abstention. Thank you. I will make the edits and forward that to the board. And we move on to the next item on the agenda, which is transfers. I hope we can deal with this relatively quickly before we move on to the agenda, which I think is an important thing for the LA meetings. Transfers, as I understand it, we have seen a draft document recently copied to us, which the registrar's constituency, I think, had been voting on. Can one of the registrars please update us?
Agreement as 100%. There has been a ongoing vote that was sent out to the members of the registrar constituency on the proposal, and the results are overwhelmingly in favor of the proposed transfer process. And at this point in time, I believe that there really is no necessity to take it beyond that until we develop some sort of an implementation plan. This was something that I've always felt is pretty much agreement between the registrars in how to deal with the procedure, and that's where we are at this point in time. Posting a vote total amongst the registrars, and we welcome comments from the other constituencies on how they feel, if there are any issues that we need to work with here, but it is more as a procedural document dealing with relationships between the registrars.
Okay. Is it your belief, Ken, that if the vote on this document is overwhelming in favor, its recommendations will be implemented and effectively the problem will be satisfactorily solved? Is that the...
At this point in time, I would say that it's heading in that direction. There is a significant issue that as to how the VeriSign registrar will deal with this, but I would prefer to let the registrars work that out amongst themselves, and I don't necessarily think that this public...
Okay, thanks.
Would you just take a cue first?
Let me take a cue then. I take it that's Paul and Marilyn for the cue.
Milton.
Anybody else? Okay. Paul, carry on.
Very briefly, I think it may be beneficial, while supporting very much of what Ken says, it may be very beneficial to have, as it were, a fast-track review by a very small or a task force representing other constituencies, because obviously other constituencies may like to get involved in the process. One thing I would ask, however, is that it is fast track. This issue, as many Names Council members will be aware, has been ongoing for some considerable time. I think most of the issues, because of the process that has been undertaken in the registrar community and disclosure amongst other constituencies, has had input from outside. But what I would like to see would be certainly some involvement from the other constituencies. So it's a twin-track approach. The registrar constituency may be able to sort it out internally as a procedure, but in addition, the Names Council may be in a position to pass it as a consensus policy to make sure that all registrars can adopt the policy that subsequently emerges. So I'm just laying the twin-track approach out for you. But certainly it would be great to have some feedback or conclusion of this issue, you know, by the Marine Del Rey meeting.
Yeah. Right, and the task force job might be to simply make a statement in terms of the general view of the council on this, specifying the sort of end result that they hope will happen. Is that the,
that's it. I mean, short, sweet, and see what comes out.
Okay.
It's very much fast track if possible.
Yeah, Marilyn.
I think that's an excellent idea. I applaud the work that the constituency has been doing in working within itself to try to come up with agreed upon processes, and note that the constituency came and updated several of the other constituencies when we were in Montevideo. However, I do think as important as broad agreement by the registry constituency is about the practices that make good business sense, it is important to have consultation with the users, the customers, who are actually the folks who are the most affected by these transfer processes. And so I would support the idea of a small and very fast track group, maybe one person from each of the constituencies who would need to be named very shortly, so that there could be resolution and agreement and then presentation of a final recommendation.
And
where we are,
Del Rey. Okay, Milton.
Yes, well, actually, I'm echoing a lot of what Paul and Marilyn have said. However, I want to add a detail, and that is, it's my understanding that the registrars are squabbling, I shouldn't use that word, they are disagreeing among themselves about the interpretation of the existing contract. And to the extent that that is an issue, I think that is an issue that should be and possibly could be resolved outside of the DNSO policymaking process, simply by deciding which interpretation, the one supported by VeriSign and the one supported by the other registrars, is correct. However, the broader policy issues that are raised by this, I think, do need to go through the DNSO process because, as Marilyn said, we as users are very much stakeholders in that process. We do not think that registrars should be able to configure the system to suit their own needs. It may be that users have very different needs that need to be taken into account.
Okay, we just have speakers from three different constituencies supporting the idea of having a task force to rapidly come with some conclusions, give some guidance on this. I think that sounds like a good idea. And I would propose then that we indeed have such a task force nominations within 5 days from constituencies, please, to the DNSO Secretariat. And could I have a volunteer as a temporary chair for that?
I'll volunteer. It's Marilyn.
Okay, Marilyn, thank you for that, just to keep momentum going. And perhaps the task force can then either decide to substantiate that temporary nomination or choose.
Or choose someone else. Yeah.
Philip?
Yeah.
This is Ken Stubbs.
I appreciate the concept of putting in input, community input on this, but if that be the case, then I think that we definitely should be doing exactly the same thing for the issues of deletes as well as the proposed implementation of the internationalized domain names that the registry, the VeriSign registry, has a plan that they've announced just recently. And there are impacts that go there easily as strong as the impacts in the registrar constituency here. We have had a very a long ongoing process. There's been a vote. There really is no debate unless you define a debate as one party as opposed to 90 to 95% of the balance of the constituency. So I'm just saying that if you're going to have set up a task force for that, then I think you need to set up the same kind of a committee for both the delete issue as well as the proposed implementation of the IDNs as well.
Okay, the IDNs we've got under AOB, so I'll take that a little later. We've also got an existing IDN task force that we may
right, but the task force task force is running way behind what VeriSign Registry has proposed at this point in time, and I'm speaking for the registrars there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay, that's point stated. Good, okay, that's item four, I think, then dealt with. Move on to item five, the agenda for LA. I think posted only yesterday has been a draft agenda from ICANN for the meeting, and what they're basically proposing, and this follows some discussions that Stuart Lynn's been having with myself and outreaching to others, is a proposal that the first day, which is Monday the 12th of November, will be a day for non-security issues. In other words, all the issues we ordinarily discuss there. And the plan is to have constituency meetings in the morning with the Names Council in the afternoon, and a General Assembly is scheduled then for the evening of that day. The following days, the Tuesday, the Wednesday, and the Thursday, would focus mostly on security issues. The first day would be an information day, some external speakers. In the morning of the plenary session, a suggestion then of work groups on issues that may come out of that for the afternoon session. The following day, the Wednesday, some plenary speakers again, and then smaller work groups, which may include constituencies meeting on specific issue on the security issues, and then feeding in to what could be a second Names Council meeting, perhaps a shorter one, solely on the security issues, and then reporting back to the board the following morning. That's a Thursday, and then Thursday afternoon would be a board meeting on other topics. So that's the sort of proposal that is laid out there, which seems to me to be a reasonable compromise in terms of the structure of meetings. Are there any comments on that at the moment? How do we feel about those?
Well, I would comment that I don't like losing control of our own agenda. I'm not sure how this happened or how often it will happen in the in the future, but it does disturb me that you know, this whatever one thinks about the need for the security issue to be discussed, laying that substantive issue aside for the moment, the process issue is one of, it would have been nice if this had been presented to us as a proposal which we could adopt or not, but effectively we've been told all of our meetings have to be crammed into one day, and for the rest of the period, which some of us are, you know, expending considerable resources to get to this meeting and to get people to this meeting, we simply have no control over what we're going to be discussing or what we're going to be doing. You cannot even rent a room in the hotel without ICANN's permission, and if it doesn't fit into their agenda, they won't let you have a room.
Philip, can I get into
your... Okay. Listen, yep. Was that Marilyn?
Yeah.
Yep.
Am I in?
Yes, I think so. I'll finish it.
I actually have a question about that, Milton. I have not thoroughly explored that, and one of the emails I saw from Stuart, I thought indicated that that other requests for meeting space, maybe not that ICANN would coordinate it, but that other requests for meeting space might be able to be accommodated. I have not checked that, and I clearly, in some of the other work groups, YJ and I are in dialogue about the need to have a physical meeting of the GTLD evaluation working group. I think we'd like to have a meeting of the Who Is group. So my intent was to go back to the ICANN staff and ask if it's possible to arrange to have working meetings and to have space. Is that something that we've already done so that we know there's a negative answer?
Up until now, there was an ambiguous answer. In other words, if you talk to the hotel, they said talk to ICANN, and if you talk to ICANN, they said we don't know what is going on yet, but we...
Right. No, ICANN is also uncertain in terms of its program for the latter 3 days. I think they're sketching it out at the moment. They've got a program committee who's working on it. But, I mean, my feeling there in response to what you're suggesting, Marilyn, is that I would hope that there wouldn't be a problem that for meetings of the sort you described, that they could happen throughout the whole days and be, you know, an alternative to attending a plenary session or whatever for those people who are involved. We have overlapping meetings ordinarily at these events, and I see no reason why they shouldn't be able to continue, I think.
I actually think, Philip, I think these meetings, I was at least intending that these meetings needed to take place before the 12th, because I consider myself booked on the 12th and have a need to participate in the other meetings. So I was assuming we would need meeting space on the 11th or the 10th for those other meetings.
Oh, okay. But I mean, are people planning on being there for...
No.
For that?
I would say that depends. I mean, we're polling. YJ and I have been... YJ, are you still online?
Oh, yes.
YJ and I have been exchanging emails about when people are arriving, and I've exchanged some emails with some other folks to try to check schedules. So right now, I was at least planning to arrive probably on the 10th.
We can't. There's no point in speculating too much during this meeting. But I mean, you know, those who want to set up alternative meetings are involved in those, and then try and work that through. And if there seems to be some problem, then by all means, let me know if I can help in that. Because my feeling is that we shouldn't. The meetings of that type are useful, and you know, if it's simply a question of accommodating them, I hope that would be seen positively by ICANN. Caroline.
I don't know if you have someone still from ICANN online, but you know, it says the details are going to be forthcoming. Do they have a target date? Because again, you know, at least with respect to my constituency, you know, people are traveling, you know, from long distances, and you know, are really trying to make an assessment as to whether this is going to be more of a technical, you know, approach, or you know, in fact, whether there'll be some issues that would be of interest to them. So I'm just curious when are we going to know the meat of the meeting?
Okay, perhaps Teresa or Louis, are you online and can help with that?
Yeah, this is Teresa. I'm here.
I need to touch base with the person or the people who are handling the details of the subsequent days that you guys are referring to, but I would expect something to be posted in the next few days. But let me check and get back, Philip. I'll have somebody send you an email on a better timing.
While Teresa's on the line, maybe she can help get us clarification. Teresa, is my understanding, if somebody wanted a room, all they needed to do was to coordinate it through ICANN, as they have done in the past, request a room. Could you maybe ask someone on the ICANN staff to send a note out to the council, either reconfirming this procedure or clarifying exactly how that needs to be handled for the meeting in Marina Del Rey?
That's no problem. I mean, my understanding is it's the same as it's been in the past, that it's coordinated with the people who are coordinating the meeting itself.
I will
have them send another note out on that.
Okay, Teresa, thank you for that. Yes.
I'd like to actually respond to Caroline's comment if I can.
Okay.
Caroline, let me give you my view as a business user and also representing a company who owns a fair number of famous marks. It's our view that it's extremely important for the other constituencies to attend and participate. While ICANN has a relatively narrow mission in relation to the things that it is responsible for, I believe that it's important that all of the constituencies have a good understanding of what those security issues and implications are. For instance, rarely in a company is a decision made about an investment in security by the technical team. It is always a business decision.
I'm not saying my constituency, you know, if there's no IP specifically listed on the agenda. What I'm saying, though, is that, you know, people are planning their flights, and we don't have any meat as to what's being discussed, though. And so that would help them decide how many people. Maybe we send a couple that can gather the information if it's truly just an information gathering type meeting, or whether, you know, there really are some policy issues that certain key people need to be there.
Yeah, we feel the same way. I mean, a lot of the non-commercial people are funded, their travel is funded by the Salzburg Seminar, and they are making travel arrangements now. If we're talking about the 10th versus the 11th, that's pretty much a disaster for us, because the seminar has initiated, assumed that the travel will be on the 11th, and people need to arrive on the 12th.
Peter on cue. Okay, Peter, speak. Yeah.
Yeah, I'd like to address this to Teresa also. Well, first of all, the CCTLDs normally meet for an extra day, so we will be there Sunday 11th. And Teresa, last time, through whatever reasons, we needed to meet in a different hotel. So if you can help me out here by getting me in touch with the appropriate person at ICANN to get a room in the Marriott for Sunday the 11th, we'd appreciate it. Thank you.
I believe that they've been in touch with somebody from the CCTLD Constituency Secretariat on those dates, but I'll have somebody send you an email, Peter.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, well, perhaps, as you said earlier, just a general email to the list in terms of the right person for the sort of administrative follow-up contact for room booking, et cetera, would be very welcome. Other questions concerning the agenda itself, or those problems? Yes, go ahead.
Tony Harris here. I see on the agenda you've got DNSO, the Names Council has no timetable on it.
I noticed that. I was thinking probably for the 12th, the timing would be 1400 to 1700. And then perhaps also on the 14th, if the security things to get together on from various constituencies and other meetings there, then we could possibly meet for something like 1500 to 1700, and less if we need that. That's my current thinking, but I need to check also how that fits in with...
I'm sorry, that was 1500 on the 14th.
Yeah.
But this is two meetings or one or the other?
Yes, and I'm suggesting two meetings. We would concentrate solely on our normal agenda on the 12th and then security matters on the 14th.
Yeah, we need to make sure we have resources available, because there's an obligation for public
But I think that's this is envisioned in the existing text there. That's talking about meetings of ICANN's constituent organisations on the 14th. So I'm presuming we're part of that group.
Just on security issues, it may be helpful to council members. Wearing another hat, and a good few years ago, I was involved in the drafting of a British standard 7799, where we did address security issues in the digital age and aspects, you know, prudent practice. One of my guys has put something on the net, and it's under the AC domain, and I've forgotten actually what the URL is, but it was something like security.ac or security issues.
In fact, you could post that to the listener. That would be very useful.
Okay.
Yeah, thank you very much. Does that do discussion on the agenda?
Yes.
Why, Jay?
Well, actually, this is a question whether we are going to continue this security agenda for the next meeting after Marina Del Rey, or is it going to be just like the very improvisational agenda because of this unexpected situation in the state?
So are you saying, are there going to be Names Council items for discussion to do with security after the LA meeting?
Yes, I mean, not only for Names Council,
but... No, right, but... I would hope that the purpose of the meeting is to identify those areas where further work is needed, and we could take a judgment there if there is those issues that come under the competence of the DNSO. Beyond that, I can't speculate anymore. If that helps. Okay, if we may then move on to the next.
Could I just bow out here and give my proxy to YJ Park?
Okay. Well, thank you for your contribution so far, and YJ, you're holding Milton's proxy. Item 6, the request to recall GA Chair, and a resignation of the alt chair. As you may know, there had been I had been copied in on a request to recall the GA chair by a member of the GA. Since that time, we've also seen that the alt chair of the GA has resigned. We thought this was worth just putting on the Names Council agenda to alert us of the situation. Comments on that, anything we may wish to do or recommend.
Philip, it's Ken Stubbs.
Okay.
I've been following the GA list, as I know other parties like Maryland have been, for a significant period of time. It appears to me, based on the reading that I've had of the postings to the GA list over the last, let's say, the last 2 weeks, principally in this area, that there is no support in the GA at all to substantiate or add any significant impact to this request to recall the GA chair. So I'd like to request that we just forget about it. I just don't see how we can acknowledge it as having any legitimacy. There's no consensus, nor is there any overwhelming indication that that's a necessity.
Sure. Okay. Elizabeth, if you're online, could you remind us what the term of office of the chair and the alt chair is? Do you recall that correctly?
Elizabeth, online. We elected the first chair and alternate. We elected them in December, but for the second term we were in late, and actually we did it between March and April. I don't recall the exact date.
Annual election or?
Elizabeth, I can add to that. I think that the election took place in Melbourne at ICANN Melbourne.
All right.
And as I recall it, we confirmed it there too.
Yeah. It's for 1 year, is it?
Yes, it is 1 year.
Yeah. Okay, so and has anything happened in terms of the resignation of the alt chair for a new election there? Does anybody know that?
Well, I think this just happened the last 4 or 5 days.
Okay.
Patrick Corliss just resigned, and I think what you'd need to do is maybe send a note back to Danny indicating that we're awaiting some sort of action on the GA as to how they'd like to deal with the vacancy. As to they may propose to us that the second one who received the second largest votes or something along that
right,
line. Rather than dictating to them in this case, it might be best to get their input.
Yeah, indeed. Any other comments on this item before we move on? No? Okay. Item 7, this has been, it's a request on GA mail list. There have been a number of requests for, I think, basically improving on the technical side of the GA mail list that have been sent to the intake committee. I thought it was worth us putting on the agenda. We've in the past often had time to cover it. But only really with a request that we would sort of pass on these things to our new secretariat once it's fully established. And see if there's some technical solutions that they can propose to solve the problems raised there. And that's all I propose on that particular item. Any comments?
Can I just clarify, Philip?
Yeah.
So does that mean that we can expect a brief report from the Secretariat at the next Names Council meeting?
Well, I was thinking of waiting until we had our new Secretariat fully established, and then to pass them with that, so maybe perhaps the meeting after that to the speed things are going there, but that would be the normal thing, I think. We see what the implication of the request is in terms of its possibility and any budget implication, and then take a decision. Item 8 was tabled by Vanny, but Vanny, are you with us now?
Why don't we just carry that forward to the next meeting since she
isn't
here to present
it. Bernie has written to the list saying she's having connection difficulties. So
all right. Okay. So we'll postpone that to the next one. And any other business is IDNs. This was tabled by somebody else. This was Paul.
Well,
yeah.
Also, Ken, I've got two items here as well.
Okay.
International domain names. I received an email late last night from the registrar constituency indicating that it is proposed, VeriSign sent an email proposing that they will be introducing multilingual names into the .com zone file. Very much, you may recall in Stockholm we had a meeting and a resolution, in fact, on this issue. At that time we suggested the Names Council passed a resolution to the effect that we should wait till the IETF met in August to discuss the standard. My concern is very much one of process. There doesn't appear to have been consultation amongst the various constituencies of the DNSO. Many constituency members will be unaware of the significance of introducing international domain names into the zone, and on the process aspect, in the interests of members being able to, one, understand the issues, and two, for constituents, and more importantly, the users being able to understand the issues, I haven't had a chance to speak with VeriSign on this issue either, actually, so it's very, very rushed. I would ask that the Names Council consider a resolution asking VeriSign, asking ICANN to ask VeriSign to delay the resolution of international domain names, certainly in accordance with the agreement they had with ICANN. The CEO of VeriSign wrote to ICANN on the 31st of March indicating that let me just read the letter here. Providing greater advance notice of new or significant changes in registry services to all registrars. And it goes on about the existing agreement, Appendix E, requires 60 days prior notice of the various changes to the SRS, but it may well be that stability would be served by slightly longer period of 90 days. For a full range of registry services as defined in Definition 9 of the proposed .com agreement. I have to say, I would just I put it before the Council that it may be beneficial in the interests of Council members, the constituency, to ask VeriSign to delay the introduction until, first of all, council members understand the issue, preferably until the IETF have come up with a defined standard. But as it seems apparent, certainly from the August meeting in London, that they are some way away from having that standard, it may be inappropriate to ask VeriSign to delay until the standard is actually finalized, although that would be the ultimate. But certainly, in accordance with their letter of the 31st of March, to give the community 90 days in which to discuss a significant change to registry services.
This is Ken Stubbs. Can I comment as well?
Okay,
Caroline.
Just
and Roger, of course.
Let me take my list. I've got Paul, Ken, Caroline, Roger. Somebody's before Roger?
Yes, Roger.
And Marilyn.
And Marilyn. Okay. The council had made an existing statement on this some time back. Was it in Melbourne when we had requested that there was indeed no implementation until the results of the IETF work had been completed, I think. Is that not right, Paul?
It was Stockholm.
Stockholm, we did that, right.
It was Stockholm, and yes, it was correct.
Yeah, okay. Ken, please speak.
Well, first of all, the impact of what I see is, and what the registrars see is basically a policy decision that is being implemented here, or proposed implementation by the registry, is staggering compared to some of the other issues that we've talked about, in that there are over a million names involved. With respect to the registrars, there are just the registrars alone, as well as many of the users who've contacted the registrars. There is a coordination aspect to this thing that really needs to be very closely looked at. And I also believe that the impact on the various constituencies is large enough where if we're going to be looking at policies and how they impact the various constituencies, and if we're looking at putting together a small working group for dealing with the country codes, I would say that this is a significantly higher impact and a much more immediacy, and I would strongly suggest that we put together a small task force to deal with this, because here we have a circumstance where there is no coordination even between the various support organizations, and I do feel we need to reach out to the other SOs in this case and take a close look at the impact. So I'm going to propose that we set up a small task force or working group to look at this and the impact on the various constituencies. Thank you.
Okay, thanks. Caroline.
Two questions, I guess. One, are there already CCTLDs which have gone live to resolve domain names and non-Roman scripts? I don't know, are those still just test beds, or are there in fact live CCTLDs operating under international domain names? And then the second question would be, is to what extent would it be a problem for VeriSign to continue to write who is, should the standard change, you know, the standard that's set by IETF be different than what it has in terms of, you know, guaranteeing that who is would still be complete and accessible?
Right. Interesting questions. Marilyn.
Let me pass at this point.
Okay, Roger.
Well, I think I'd say several things. First, Paul's introduction to his comments is saying that this was sort of rushed and things were unclear is, I think, an enormous understatement. The fact is this proposal is something the council and the IDN task force have had no opportunity to study, no opportunity to discuss or examine. But what is not rushed and what is not at all new is the VeriSign registry's implementation plan, which contemplated a move of this sort when it was first announced in October of last year. So the VeriSign registry has been working with registrars, with the IETF, with ICANN management, for over a year now on what has been a very public implementation plan of the multilingual testbed. Part of that plan has been an unqualified commitment to move the technology to the IETF standard once that standard is finalized. But part of that plan from the beginning has also been to implement a standard that is the closest available to the IETF final standard. If the conclusion of the IETF work extended well into the future. So there's absolutely nothing sort of new, surprising, undisclosed, or unusual in what has been announced. It's been a matter of public record for quite a while. In the meantime, I think, as Carolyn has pointed out, quite a few other registries have gone ahead and implemented full multilingual service. Many of the CCTLD registries are providing full multilingual service without reference to the Names Council, without reference to anything. And in the marketplace, he who delays is he who is lost. So I think that the fact is that the VeriSign registry from the beginning committed to both the provision of a who is service for the multilingual test bed and a migration to the IETF standard when it is finalized. What Paul is referring to is the implementation of a previously announced plan, which brings absolutely nothing new to the table that wasn't well known, I think, to just about everyone all along. So I would say, if anyone is going to suggest that the registry that pays attention to ICANN should suspend its multilingual services, then they should also suggest that the registries that don't pay attention to ICANN should suspend their multilingual services too, unless the intent is to commercially punish those registries who listen to the Names Council and to ICANN. The practical consequence would be to commercially damage those who play by these rules and to the benefit of those who don't. So I would say it would be inconceivable to me that the council would even consider seriously consider a motion to delay the multilingual test bed of the VeriSign registry if it's not prepared to treat all registries equally.
Philip, can I get back in queue?
Yes, you can, Loudon. Your point of order, Peter?
No, this is Ken.
Okay.
And I'm just asking for interpretation here. Roger, I appreciate your comments, although I would be somewhat inclined to believe that the comments that you just made were reflective of the VeriSign position as opposed to the registry constituency position. And I'm just wondering whether or not the comments that you just made you were making in your position as a representative of the GTL registry constituency, or whether or not those comments were made basically in your position as a spokesman for VeriSign.
Well, Ken, I guess we're all faced with that question from time to time, since we all represent constituencies and work for individual companies. So I guess this is the first time the question has been posed to any of us, but we could spend a lot of time asking that question of everyone. I would say in this case, the constituency has certainly examined this issue, but I would not suggest that the comments I made were based on a consensus within the constituency.
Well, the thing
nor would I suggest
well, that's
that
probably, yeah, that's probably enough for clarification as I've got his point. I've got Elizabeth and Marilyn on the list still.
Paul,
Elizabeth,
please.
And Paul also.
Thank you, Philip. I am very concerned by the stability of internet and by technical functioning and by coordination between GTLD, between all TLD registries. And I took some steps to discuss with IETF people for technical issue, for better understanding, and I would suggest that we ask them a kind of short report to clarify for the Names Council for the next time. My understanding is that it is not yet stable solution, and the comments as sent out by Paul are completely clear. Therefore, I believe that we put on danger stability of the network if we do not coordinate implementation of international domain names across all TLDs. It takes, of course, time, and I may understand that VeriSign registry is extremely interested to continue testbed, but it is going beyond the testbed, as far as I understand. Therefore, I am in full support to Paul's comment that I would suggest that the Names Council recommends to the ICANN board to instruct VeriSign to delay the deployment until we have a better understanding, we have a chance to discuss important issue in Marina Del Rey and to formulate recommendation, which at that time probably will have also impact on CCTLD as well.
Okay, Marilyn?
I have a question, and it can go to Paul or to Roger. It's my understanding that in the present situation, that it is possible that the same name could be registered in different scripts, and that I may have a whois problem or confusion as a result. And I'd like to see if I can get a comment on that, and then I want to make a follow-up statement.
Roger, want to go for it?
Well, I think I'm not sure that I understand Marilyn's question. Let me answer it broadly, and then go back to the detail of it. But if the broad answer is that there are your question sort of illustrates the fact that this is really probably not a very appropriate forum to drill down into the technology and the technical details of the testbed.
Oh, but Roger, you know, you guys have to do that, because if we don't understand, we can't make a decision.
No, I understand. I'm not saying that the subject shouldn't be addressed, but to try to do it in a council teleconference is a difficult way to do it. If I understand your question correctly, it is, given that there are almost a dozen other registries who are already offering multilingual services today, and the VeriSign registry has a multilingual test bed, are they all using the same technology? Is that what you're asking?
No, Roger, that's not what I'm asking.
Can I help here? There is the encoding system that is proposed is ACM-Z. Within the Unicode structure, there are certain characters that, let's say, and I don't quote me here, but let's say in Kanji in Japan and Hangul in Korea, that one look the same and two have a similar code, so it would be potentially difficult to in a string that needs to be unique. There could be some conflict between so there could be some conflict. So the same character could appear in Hangul as in Kanji. If, for example, this domain resolution service, and this is, I think, the first new step, were operated at the third level, I don't think there would be an issue. And in fact, I apologize to Roger, because one, I'm just coming up to speed on the issue, and two, it has been thrown upon us and the council at a very last minute, simply because it is intended in an email dated the 28th of September sent by VeriSign Registry that these domains will be entered into the root on the 27th of October, just giving the 1 month. So I apologize for the short notice. Just to answer Caroline's question in connection with the whois question, because the encoding takes two forms, there is a name prep where the name is actually prepared effectively for the encoding system, and the original recommendation that VeriSign issued was in fact the race encoding. Many registrars who are currently offering access to the testbed, the VeriSign testbed, have race encoding registration systems. So if and when VeriSign switch over to the ACM-Z, which I have to say has not been confirmed as being the final encoding system, but as Roger correctly says, and we're very grateful that they will move to the final standard that IETF sets, even if it's not ACMZ, there will be conflict at the registrar level, who would have to update their systems and then update their systems again. And so the WHOIS functionality that currently exists looking at the race environment, my understanding is it would not be present. But do bear in mind that
Could I ask you to wind up?
Okay, very briefly. Do bear in mind what this motion effectively would be to do is to prevent the introduction of domain name resolution services for the multilingual names. It is not to prevent, one, the testbed continuing, nor VeriSign have done a deal with a company called Real Names that is very similar to a number of other offerings in the market, where the name is actually resolved in a web browser, particularly a Microsoft web browser. So it's very much a matter of giving the council time and constituencies time to address the fairly substantial issues that need to be considered, and that will unfortunately mean asking VeriSign, or asking ICANN to ask VeriSign, to delay their proposed implementation on the 27th of October, just before the LA meeting.
Okay. I think clearly there's an important issue that's been raised here that's also consistent with Names Council policy. I think because of the some of the complexity that's there, and the fact that we haven't seen a sort of a final text in front of us, might I suggest also, and now that Elizabeth is also the new chair of the existing IDN task force, that as an additional and priority item, that task force takes on board this issue and comes back to the council within 1 week with a proposed resolution, which we would then vote on by email. Does that seem a good way forward? Elizabeth, would you be happy to do that?
Yes.
Can I ask Roger, and I'm sorry to put you again on the spot, Roger, but putting on your VeriSign hat rather than your representative hat, if ICANN were to make a request, or the Names Council to pass a resolution making a request, certainly for you to delay for the 90-day period, as is agreed in your 31st of March 2001 letter, but would you entertain the idea of postponing the 27th of October date that you've indicated to the registrar community?
Paul, I'm really not in a position to answer that at this moment, but I would say, as I have before, that this implementation schedule has been a matter of public record. The date has not been, but the phases of the implementation schedule have been a matter of public record for a year now. So September 27th was just the date in which the notice of the previously announced phase was given.
Okay, thanks for that. I think we've agreed on a summary there.
Jeff, I just want to ask that the whatever they submit for a draft resolution, could you outline some of these that you believe are issues that need to be resolved before they can go live, so we understand what those issues are as to why it is granted for delay? Okay.
Yes.
So, Mr. Richard, if I got a sec to make a comment here?
Very quickly, Richard. I'm hoping to wind this call off in about a minute.
Yes. In this resolution, I think something I'd also like to see is, regardless of what...
If the things that you want to input into it, I think I notice that you're a member of the IDN task force, so you're in a very good position to influence that.
Yes. Okay. I'll provide it by email.
I beg your pardon. No, you're not. It's Richard Lindsay who's a member. But perhaps you could
In 10 seconds, I wanted to make sure that the limitations of the system are communicated to the end users, regardless of what happens in proceeding here, so that people who are buying these products understand that they don't operate currently like other domain names that the people are used to buying.
I think that's a very important point. Thank you.
Very important.
Ken, you had a very brief remark you wanted to make on subscriptions, I think, or calling for better information.
Well, I just think it's important for us to take a look at where we stand in terms of the dues from the various constituencies. I'd like to ask that we make arrangements to have a secretary and post the current dues status And also I'd ask that a representative from each one of the constituencies, if that constituency is delinquent, please elaborate on how they, what they're currently doing to resolve those problems. That's all. Thank you, Philip.
Okay, thanks so much. So, Glenn, perhaps I could ask you to take that that on board. You may want to liaise with the Budget Committee and with ICANN in terms of the answer. I've seen some activity, I think, in terms of commitments for some of the constituencies to pay, so an update on that would be useful.
Can I just chip in last thing?
Okay, cool.
Council members, I have indicated my intention to retire from the Names Council, subject to the registrar constituency holding elections for my position. Unfortunately, the registrar constituency has not been able to hold elections, certainly in advance of the Los Angeles meeting. Due to other circumstances, I will not be attending the Los Angeles meeting. There will be a proxy in my place, and I hope the registrar constituency will certainly find another candidate for my post. In the interim, unfortunately, you're stuck with me, but the moment the registrar's constituency has another Names Council representative, I will be delighted to retire. So thank you for that time, Philip.
Okay, well, thank you. Thank you for that, and I think
I've enjoyed working with you all. It's been great, so it might happen. But
I think you've seen some nice commentary on the list also, so we will certainly miss you. So, Names Council, thank you very much for your patience on this call. It's later than usual. Thank you to VeriSign, who has sponsored the bridge for us today. We will see each other mostly, I hope, in Los Angeles. So thank you very much, and please be aware that we're likely to have a resolution to vote on within next week on this IDN matter, and the voting system will be normal and by email. So thank you, and see you soon.
Thank you, Philip.
Bye.
Thank you.
Bye.
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 Bye. Bye.